The title of my message this morning is, Are You Really Hungry? Are you really hungry? I hope you have had breakfast this morning. I need some space. There we go. Thank you, Lord. I invite you, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, come take this message that you have written down, break it into many little parts, Lord, and minister to each and every heart here to what they need this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is impossible without you. Father, I humble myself in front of you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all about you and glory to your name in Jesus' name. You see, we need to be hungry. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. And we need to be hungry for his voice. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our lives revolve around food, right? We discuss it. We discuss when we'll have it. We talk about how much of it we'll have. We arrange a meeting place and then we have it together. We chase after it. Some of us get angry when we don't get it. Who's angry in the house? Some of us can't wait to have it again. We even snack in between mealtimes. We make sure we get enough. We connect with each other around a table of food. We enjoy it together. We discuss the quality of it. We discuss the taste. While we have a meal, we discuss the next possible opportunity that we can have it again. Isn't that true? How many of you at dinner has discussed when we're going to have dinner again? Or what are we going to have tomorrow morning for breakfast? We go out and we look for it. We get it. We work for it. We enjoy putting it together. How many of you enjoy cooking? I love cooking, especially when we started doing HelloFresh boxes. It's so easy, right? It just tells you step by step, and it tastes great. We love different recipes. We even go to well-known chefs' restaurants, and we enjoy the flavors that they have and the way they put their dishes together. Who knows where I'm going with this? We have to make bookings way in advance to make sure that we satisfy our desire. We plan ahead. When we go on holiday, we plan our meals. We budget for our meals. We make sure that everything is looked after. We take it all with us in a special little box to make sure that it's preserved. We even watch reality shows about it. Are you this passionate about God's word? Are you this hungry for God? Do you plan at every opportunity that we have in God's word? Do you plan when we're going to have it next? Do you plan the meal? Do you go to other different chefs or pastors' place and you go and see what God has given them for that day and see the meal that they've prepared? You see, we live by the word of God. It lives and moves through us. Are we this hungry for God's word? When you go on holiday, do you plan your prayer sessions? Do you plan when you'll get together in prayer? Or is God excluded from holiday because you're on holiday? God asked me, how hungry are you for me, Will? How much am I woven in and completed in you, to your world? Am I as present as the meals you have every day? I say, wow, Lord, no. When we go on holiday, we definitely don't have a prayer schedule. I was convicted in that moment. Not that I have to schedule it, but do I wove him into the fun? You see, God desires to be a part of everything we do as much as we involve food. He desires to even, in between meals, have snack time with him. Just a 2-minute or a 3-minute. Just quickly discuss the emotion that you're having right now at that moment. When you're getting that text or that upsetting phone call from someone, take a snack time with God. And say, God, I just want to talk about what I feel right now. Lord, I just want to bring this emotion to me, to you. It's bubbling up inside. I'm angry, Lord. Tell him what you're angry about. Wove God into your life like we weave food through our lives. God should be so much as a sustenance to life as food is to our bodies. Because that's exactly what he is. And it's not only in the Word. It's that five-minute prayer. It's that quick snack time. It's that just getting together with God. Let's look at somebody that was really hungry for God. And we go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to start from verse 10. We're going to do a bit of reading. It's going to be great. Paul says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, so if you don't have the additional words, that's why, or the additional parts. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. Is that your determined purpose? To know Him? To involve Him in every part? Is that your determined purpose? Or is God just the spare wheel that you need to run on when you get a flat? My determined purpose is. It means it's central to my being. It's something that I base my life on. I do not see life without it. It is my determined purpose. It's always there. In the morning when I wake up, as you go to breakfast, I run to God. In the afternoon when it's time to take a break, I run to God. When it's time to take a snack, I run to God. With everything inside of me, it's a determined purpose. You see, Paul was really hungry. He said that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. I want that. To understand completely the power that flows out of the resurrection of Christ. And that I may so share in His sufferings as to be continually transformed into His likeness, even to His death. Paul said, not that he has attained this already, been made perfect, but I press on and I lay hold of it. Do you lay hold of it? Do you press on? And I make it my own. You see, this is something that you have to do. This is something that's within your choice, your realm of choice. This is something that you need to do. You need to weave God into your life. You need to invite Him in. He's not just going to walk in. He's not just going to walk in and change the circumstances in your life. He's not just going to walk in and give you random advice. You need to invite Him in. You need to open the door. Jesus knocks on the door. He does not open that door. You need to do that. Invite God into your life. Wove Him and weave Him in between all the facets and everything that's going on in your life. Paul says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. I forget what lays behind me. And straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul persecuted the church with a passion. He dragged the Christians out of the house. He beat them in the streets. Paul had a lot of reason to forget what laid behind him. Just like many of us have dirty sinners, have a dirty past. We have a reason to forget what lays behind. But aspire to what lies in front of us, just as Paul writes here. So in verse 15, he says, let those who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And in any respect, you have a different attitude of mind. God will make that clear to you. So if you're sitting here and saying, well, I can't see the picture, God's going to make it clear to you. Only let us hold true to what we already have attained and walk and order our lives by it. That's how we will impact the world out there. Paul says in verse 8, he says the possession of Jesus Christ is a priceless privilege. Is it a priceless privilege to you this morning? Do you feel that way? He says the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus. Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And I pray for every person here to have an encounter for the likes of what Paul had on Damascus. I pray for that encounter, but you need to open yourself up to that encounter and pray for it as well. Say, Lord, I want that encounter with you, Lord. I need to meet you like Paul met you on the road of Damascus. In verse 18, for there are many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, who walk and live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They are doomed and their fate is an eternal misery. Their God is their stomachs. It's their appetites. It's their sensuality. And they glory in their shame, siding with earthly things and being of their party. But we are citizens of the state which is in heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to become hungry for God. I want to invite you to look for an excuse to include God somewhere, in some way, by some means. Praying for our food, it's a way that the Dutch just included God in everything that they do. We pray for every meal. We every time, everywhere we go, we do communion. That's a good thing to do. Jesus says, as often as you get together, stand in remembrance. Why not do it at a party? Why not when you go to a birthday party? Say, hey, everybody, before we start, let's start this off right and stand in remembrance of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. It sets the tone of the events to follow. In every situation that God is not, start inviting him into that space. Start thinking every time that you get together, how can we include God in this? How can we include the word of God in this? Even if it's just a 2 minute or a 5 minute, how can we include God here? Look for an excuse to include God. You look for an excuse to go to the fridge and get a snack. Sometimes you just go to the fridge, open it up and stare inside. How many of us just go to the Bible and just stare at it? Man, this is good stuff. I'm so full right now, I can't have any of it, but I'm just going to look at it. It's beautiful. We need to include God in what we do every day, every minute and every day. It's part of building relationship with God, sharing what's on your heart, sharing what it is that you're feeling inside. You see, he's not just going to come and have a look. He can see everything I know, but he wants you to share it with him. He wants to know what is going on inside your heart, but he wants you to tell him. Share it with him. Because you see, as soon as you step into, open that communication line with God, it opens the line back for him to respond in some way, in some manner. Maybe when you have heartache that's filling your heart and you're in the time or the space that you're sharing that with God, an overwhelming peace settles in on your world because you're sharing it with God. But when you keep it just all in, contained in yourself, it festers and it bubbles up. Relationship is key for us as children of God. Relationship is key. We have to actively build relationship with God every day. And it's much like building relationship with your partner or your friend. You have to be doing something. You have to invite them along. You have to include them in your life. Include them in what you're doing. You have to show them that you're thinking about them. And it's a lot the same with God. That is how you build relationship with God. Weave him into everything. So look at your life now and see, where is God not present as like in church? This is all about God today, but what do I do on a daily basis and how much of it is God involved in it and how can I involve God in it? I'm in an industrial setting myself. I've got a full-time job. I work on big industrial sites. I get in overalls. I climb in a bunch of dark holes with a little torch on my head. I have to go do an inspection, go look where the welder is welded. I have to go look at the integrity of objects and make sure. I have to write out a certificate to say, I have looked at this and it is sound to go. You can start up your plant, start up the boiler, let the pressure flow. But in that space, when I'm there, I'm all alone. I often close my eyes and say, hey, Jesus, It's so good to have you here with me, and I can feel the anointing just rushing down my back. I often pray when I go into these dangerous places and I say, Lord, protect me when I'm there. I have often heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I'll never allow you to go in anywhere where your life's in danger. I've often felt unsure of some confined spaces that I need to go into. I've been in a chlorine tank a while back. That wasn't great. It was all washed out, you know, but it's not the same. You still feel the burn on your skin, even though it's washed out. It's been tested. It's safe. And I was anxious to go in there. In a moment, I felt the anxiousness when I had to step into this hole, this dark hole, knowing that it's a hazardous product to my body in there, knowing that if I die, I'm going straight to heaven. But I think I've got so much to do. I don't want to go now. And I heard the Holy Spirit, and I was talking to God. I was sharing that feeling of anxiousness with God in that moment. I wasn't just keeping it to myself. I said, God, I'm really anxious. I'll never let you go anywhere where you'll be in danger, Will. And right then, the guy standing next to me, the guy that was fitting my harness so they can wheel me out if they see I'm not moving or anything like that, you know. They've got a rescue plan and all of that in place. He taps me on the back. He said, you'll be all right, bro. Don't worry about it. If I see you ain't moving, I'll wheel you out. Thank you, Lord, for that confirmation. Well, you can include God everywhere. I include him in my gardening. Often, God speaks to me while I garden. I love gardening. It's a great de-stress for me. I always used to use alcohol as a de-stress when I was not as saved as I am now. You can be partially saved, yeah. You can be, God says, if you've only been hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I spit you out. There was a time in my life that I was lukewarm. And I used alcohol to de-stress. I had to change that because that's not the right way of living. I was convicted about it, and I took up gardening. And I started growing things like this, and the more I grow them and the greater success I achieve in doing them, I see the wonders of God. You know, last week I said that the early church, one of the first things in the early chapters they said, they spoke only about the wonders of God. I see the wonders of God in it, and I look at it. I look at the deepness of the red. I look at the absolute perfection of this flower, and it's only meant to last for a short while. I'm saddened by it. I think, wow, can't we have this the whole season through? God says, no, Will, you can't, because I've got the other good things that's coming along. Right now in this space, the Holy Spirit says there's some good things that has passed, like seasons in your life, and you're asking God, why is this past? Why could this season not last all the time? Because God says, I got other things. I got other seasons. Every season brings about its own glory, its own goodness, its own blessing. This will not be around in January anymore. But January brings awesome things, other flowers that starts to bloom and sprout and start to shout their own glory to the kingdom of God, just as this amaryllis is now. That's how I weave God into my life, and he speaks. Many a message that you hear on a Sunday comes from my garden. God speaking with me. How can you include God, actively include God in what you are busy doing and what you do in your hobbies? Carl's out on the fishing boat. Can I share that? He fishes a lot. How many times has God spoken to him about the water? Carl, as many fish as you're catching now, you'll be catching men. I make you fishers of men. The success that God is just giving to Carl out on the water is God's way of showing, I'm providing for you. He has built that trust of provision in God by including God in his hobby that he enjoys. You see, God does not want you to sacrifice your hobby and say, oh, you can't do that anymore. You've got to come to church. No, weave me through it. What is it that you enjoy? I'm thinking of people that is stuck at work, working long hours, working hard hours, and it's really a burden. God says, I can be woven into that. You can start, share your stress, share it with me, share where you're at in the moment. If your back is aching because you've picked up so many parcels today, you share that with me, you stop and you say, oh Lord, my back is aching. I've picked up so many parcels today. Share it with him like he's there, because he is. You see, the person of Jesus is there, right there, living inside of you, with you all the time, every time. You have to actively include the Holy Spirit in the space that you're in. And then he's there every time. So I want to encourage you this morning to get hungry for God. Weave God into your life. Start actively building relationship, because it's out of that position of relationship that you will become an effective tool out there. It's out of that position of relationship that people will see the love of God in your life. You'll beam it out. They'll say, man, there's something about you. What's on with you? I want to know what you've got. What is it that you've got that I don't have? That is where those questions come from. The Holy Spirit opens the door to share the gospel. They see the way we treat others. Me and Nicole get it the whole time. You guys are so friendly. Wow, you guys are so friendly. We're just beaming that light of love that's inside of us. There's nothing special about us. But we're saved, and people can see that. People can see the love of God for others and the care that you have for others. We've many a time offered prayer to people and said, no thanks, they don't want it. We've offered to pray for a lady a while back with a sore back in Countdown. She says, no, thanks, I'm all right. I'll live with the pain. I've learned to live with it. How many things in your life have you learned to live with? Because you're just not willing to include God in it. I'm going to wrap this up. It's important, this message is important for you because you're all saved. You know you're saved. You got your ticket into heaven. But now you're at a space where you've got to impact the lives of others around you. And this is where we start. We start with relationship with God in such a way that is so woven into your life that there's no way to see a life without him. Holy Spirit, I pray for each and every person here that you'll show them this week, prompt them in their spirit, Lord, how we can include you in the daily life, Lord. Lord, every time I'm up here in front, I pray, Lord, that when you speak through me, when you bring a message, I pray that it will be a game changer. That it will be a game changer, Lord, for your children, Lord. And everybody out there that hears it, Lord, I pray that this be a game changer, Lord. That they'll take it up and weave you into every area of their lives, Lord. I pray for inspiration. I pray for boldness, Lord, to come upon your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll show them that you're ever present. I pray for encounters here with for every person here in Jesus' name. Like Paul had on the road to Damascus, Lord. How you met him on the road of Damascus. Father, I pray that you'll meet the people here that needs to be met like that, Lord, in Jesus' name. We are not asking for a sign, Lord, because you say it's the wicked generation that asks for a sign. But I'm praying for a life-changing encounter for those that need it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that those that don't need any special encounter, Lord, they will start to weave you through our lives, Lord, that it will be impossible to take you out of it in any way. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.